Israel announced conducting dozens of new airstrikes on Hezbollah strongholds in Lebanon just a day after the deadliest bombardment since the 2006 war, which resulted in the deaths of 558 people, including 50 children. The overnight strikes on southern Lebanon came after it said it had killed a large number of militants when it hit about 1,600 suspected Hezbollah targets around the country. Israel has named its operations against Hezbollah Operation Northern Arrows, following its announcement earlier this month that it would shift its focus now from Gaza to Lebanon. And we have a very special guest here in the studio. Reuven Azar is ambassador of Israel to India. Thank you so much for taking time out and coming to NDTV studio. Ambassador Azar,
thank you, Maria.
After 500 lives were lost in Lebanon, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had reached out to the Lebanese people and he had said that they should not become human shields for the Hezbollah. But the question is, the number of civilian casualties is very high, both in Gaza and in Lebanon. Why are they becoming collateral in this prolonged war?
Well, Maria, thank you for this interview. What is happening in Lebanon right now is that in the last 48 hours, we targeted more than 1,700 military targets, and most of them were embedded inside the homes of civilians in southern Lebanon. What Hezbollah has done in the last few years is a double war crime. They have been embedding their missiles inside the homes of people to conceal them from Israel, and they have been firing indiscriminately at civilians in northern Israel from these installations. So what Israel had to do is to take out, we have gathered meticulously intelligence about these locations in the last few years, and fortunately we've been able to target and to destroy dozens of thousands of missiles that were in those areas. Now, the families that were living there are some of them that didn't evacuate on time, despite the fact that we called them by phone, we intercepted their radio communications, we tried in any way possible to take them out of harm's way. Despite that fact, yes, there were some civilians that were killed as well. But when you look at the magnitude of this, 1,700 military targets in 48 hours, you will see that actually this has been very successful, because at the end of the day, when you compare the damage that would be caused from these missiles on Israeli civilians to the price that the people had to pay, it's a relatively low price. Now, of course, every loss of life is tragic, and Israel does whatever it's possible to take civilians out of harm's way. Fortunately, today, thousands and tens of thousands of civilians from southern Lebanon have been evacuated, and that's a very important thing. We will continue to put pressure on the Hezbollah.
So, Ambassador, can Israel really afford a ground invasion, the one that we saw in 1982 and 2006?
Well, we are not interested in war at all. We've been trying for the last 11 months, since Hezbollah, in an unprovoked way, attacked Israel and fired more than 8,300 rockets. We have tried to get to a diplomatic solution together with our American friends, and we suggested something very simple. Go and implement UN Security Council Resolution 1701 that states very clearly that Hezbollah forces cannot go south of the Litani River, cannot come to the border with Israel. If Hezbollah terrorists move away from the border, there will be a ceasefire. Our civilians will be able to go back to their homes, and we can stop the war now. Okay? But if Hezbollah continues to be stubborn and continues to fire at Israel and continues to refuse to implement the UN Security Council resolution, this war will continue.
So there is no timeline per se as to when will this war come to an end, but over 700 Israeli defense forces have lost their lives on the battlefield. There are protests happening from their families as well. How is your government viewing these developments?
Well, first of all, there is wall-to-wall consensus in Israel that we have to deal with the security threats, both in the Gaza Strip, that have been dealt with pretty successfully, and also in the north, because Israel has to go back to a normal life. And we cannot go back to a normal life when we have a threat of imminent attack by terrorists. Now, of course, that this bears a cost. And yes, there are people that are not satisfied, especially the families that have hostages still in the Gaza Strip. So we will have to deal with the dilemma, and we will have to solve the situation, because we cannot surrender to Hamas. And we are trying to get into a deal that is actually sponsored by the United States and by the Security Council. But as the spokesperson of the White House has said, Hamas is refusing this deal. And therefore, we'll have to be persistent. We'll have to bear patience. Some people are not going to be satisfied. Well, that's a democracy. They can demonstrate. But at the end of the day, the people of Israel are have a very strong conviction that we have to defend ourselves, and we have to create a situation in which these terrorist organizations will no longer attack Israel in the future.
Ambassador, you know, despite all military operations in Gaza, you have been able to evacuate or secure hostages only through negotiations. That is the way largely happened. So please go ahead and explain, so what is really the way forward in terms of negotiations? How do you see the remaining hostages? How will they be secured and returned home?
Well, first of all, as you know, we've been able to bring back 150 hostages home. About 25 of them were rescued in military operations. And the rest, you're right, they've been coming back as a result of negotiations of a deal that happened only after we put a huge amount of military pressure on Hamas and after diplomatic pressure was used by other players. Now, what is happening right now is that we are in a more difficult stage. And why is that? Because Hamas understands that we are going to be determined to completely destroy their capabilities, and we will not allow them to rearm and regroup. And therefore, they are toughening their position in the negotiation, and that it has been more difficult to reach a solution or to reach a deal. But we have to be persistent. And those countries that are against terrorism, are against future attacks by Hamas against Israel or against any other country for that matter, they should join these efforts and put pressure on Hamas so they release the hostages as soon as possible. And then peace can be restored and Gaza can be rebuilt.
Is there a number to these hostages?
Well, right now we have 101 hostages in the Gaza Strip. Unfortunately, according to the statement of the Prime Minister a few days back, we estimate that about half of them are already dead. Many of them died on the 7th of October. They were massacred, they were murdered by Hamas terrorists, and their bodies were taken hostage into the Gaza Strip. So we know that their life is in danger. We are trying to do whatever we can in order to bring them back.
Ambassador, last week India was among the 43 countries that abstained from voting in the UN General Assembly on a resolution, of course, which was demanding that Israel's unlawful presence in the occupied Palestinian territories must end within 12 months. Do you see India as among those nations which can possibly play the role of a peacemaker?
Well, India is a great friend of Israel. We appreciate very much the support of India since the 7th of October and the fact that India condemned the attacks and supported our right for self-defense. I think that the voting of India in the General Assembly is a testament that they are following a path of supporting a realistic solution, okay, and not something that is completely detached from reality. If we want to see a situation in which the Palestinians rule themselves, this is something that Israel wants to see as well, not just India, we'll have to work together to, first of all, defeat the terrorists and also encourage the more pragmatic and moderate forces within Palestinian society. And in general, generally speaking, we will have to fight radicalism in West Asia, because this is actually the source of the instability we are seeing around us. And India knows that very well, because you have been suffering for that kind of radicalism around you.
And Ambassador, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi just 2 days ago had that very interesting meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in the United States. And of course, he expressed concerns over the situation in Gaza. He has also called for end to these hostilities. How does Israel see this?
Well, we also want to see an end to these hostilities. We are a peace-loving country. We are a democracy. We thrive because we maintain periods of stability. And we need the help of our friends in order to restore that stability. And it's going to be up to India to decide to what extent it wants to be involved. But I'm sure that once we have achieved cooperation with our neighbors when it comes to foiling attacks from Iran, and we are defending together the skies of the Middle East, once we reach political stability, we also be able to reach economic cooperation and prosperity and, you know, continue the path that was set in the Abraham Accords. And I think that we've heard from my Indian friends that they also want to be part of this stability and prosperity because we all have interests of trade. We all want to work together. And the pragmatic countries, together with Israel, can be a corridor between India and Asia, between them and Europe. So we want to go back to the implementation of this vision, and it can be done, but before we do it, we need to defeat the radicals, because they, if we don't do that, they will always be a menace. They will always impede us from doing what we have to do with our for our peoples.
But Ambassador Azhar, you are still sounding optimistic with regards to Abraham Accords. But the larger question is, does it really have a future, given how battle lines are so sharply drawn in the Middle East?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what is the proof. The proof is that under the umbrella of CENTCOM, the American command of the region, we've been cooperating deeply, both in intelligence and operationally, to defend the skies of the Middle East. And we managed to foil this terrible attack, unprecedented in history, this barrage of drones and missiles and ballistic missiles that were fired at Israel on the 13th of April. So if we are capable of working together to foil attacks from Iran, believe me that we will be able to restore stability and also create economic cooperation once peace is achieved.
You know, we have seen pagers and other devices explode in Lebanon, and Hezbollah has blamed Israel for it. You know, this is a new age digital warfare that we are seeing play out. What exactly is your reading of this situation?
Well, you know, in the past, there used to be either wars between conventional armies or fights against terrorism. I think that today war has kind of a hybrid nature. We've seen it in Israel because we have been attacked like no other country in the history of modern times. And we have been attacked not only with rockets and missiles, but also with cyber attacks. We've been attacked from the air, from the sea, from the land, from tunnels, from very different ways. And at the end of the day, you have to create a situation in which you can not only defend yourself, but also be able to surprise your enemy. So, you know, I won't go into details of what Israel is doing or is not doing. But the bottom line is that if we want to achieve stability, we have to show to these terrorists that are using unconventional and unethical and immoral ways of fighting that we can also surprise them.
Ambassador, my last question to you. Is the current regime in Israel waiting for the results of U.S. elections? The reason why I'm asking this is because the Democratic nominee, presidential nominee, and Vice President Kamala Harris, in fact, in a recent interview said that she favors pausing arms shipment to Israel.
Well, I don't think that Kamala Harris said that she is going to that is going to limit assistance to Israel. Israel enjoys vast support from the American people. Actually, 80% of American people support Israel and its right to defend itself. And this happens both in the Republican side and also in the Democratic side. We enjoy overwhelming support in Congress, and we saw that when our Prime Minister, Prime Minister Netanyahu, visited the United States and gave a fourth speech in Congress. It's actually the foreign leader who gave the most number of speeches before both houses of Congress. So I think that our situation in the United States is solid, and I'm confident that will find a way to cooperate with any American administration that will be elected next November.
All right, Ambassador Azar, pleasure speaking to you, and thank you for making the effort and coming all the way to NDTV studios.
My pleasure, Maria. Thank you very much.
We are putting out that discussion on NDTV.com. That's all from me. I'll be seeing you tomorrow. Thanks so much for watching.